With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A senior Mexican government minister sees no end to the border crisis unless the U.S. ponies up more cash.
Mexico's top diplomat offered a sobering assessment Thursday of what's to come unless the United States joins Mexico in development aid for the Northern Triangle of Central America. Foreign Relations Secretary Marcelo Ebrard said he expects constant and growing flows of migrants in coming years. Ebrard said Mexico is proposing investing money in Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador, the three countries sending the largest number of migrants to the U.S. southern border. Ebrard said Mexico expects the United States to join in the development aid, and he estimated the U.S. will have to spend $2 billion per year to stem the migration. Mike Gracia, Washington.
In Bryan, Texas.
We really don't know the motive. We're still investigating that. I believe that the suspect was an employee of Kent Moore.
Bryan Police Chief Eric Buskey.
Bryan Police received a call to Kent Moore cabinets of an active shooter. Officers responded to the scene and arrived in a fairly short period of time. However, the shooter had gone by the time officers got here. They did, however, discover some people hurt that had been shot.
One person was killed, five others wounded in yesterday afternoon's attack. The suspect, identified as 27-year-old Larry Bolin, arrested at his home in Grimes County, about 30 miles from the scene of the shootings. Also at SRNNews.com, critics call it a gun grab. President Biden announcing a series of executive orders on gun control. Swift reaction from gun rights advocates. Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott taking to Twitter, accusing Mr. Biden of threatening our Second Amendment rights. Abbott adds, time to get legislation making Texas a Second Amendment sanctuary state. Wall Street Dow futures up 65 points. NASDAQ futures down 21. This is SRN News.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone?
Do flowers have best friends?
I don't know.
Hey, look. Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The science now says 3 feet distancing, not six. But the second largest teachers union in the United States, the American Federation of Teachers, won't go back to teaching.
Dennis Prager, weeknights from 10 till midnight on WBOB. News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good morning, I'm Adam Boardman. A woman who coughed on someone will spend time behind bars. Deborah Jo Hunter was caught on video last summer at a store in Jacksonville, a video which quickly went viral and made headlines across the country. She initially pleaded not guilty to assault. After turning down three separate plea deals, the judge said he'd either be sentencing Hunter himself or the case would have to go to trial. Hunter soon switched her plea to guilty. Yesterday, she was given a 30-day prison sentence, followed by 6 months probation, plus a $500 fine. She was also ordered to attend a parenting skills class and undergo treatment for anger management. A main area road is once again open after being closed for a while due to a gas line break. The southbound lanes of Blanding Boulevard and Clay County were shut down yesterday morning, and nearby businesses had to be evacuated. No one was hurt, though. The line was cut accidentally by some construction equipment. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Good morning. Cloudy and overcast today. Our high about 85. This evening, partly cloudy with a low of 65. And currently, it is 63 degrees. Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. On Thursday, President Biden rolled out a set of executive orders on gun control and says he supports a nationwide red flag law. Border officials announced record high numbers in March of illegal migrants crossing the U.S. border. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is suing the Biden administration to get cruises open in the state. The CDC has extended a ban preventing cruise ships from allowing passengers to embark and depart from all U.S. ports.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB. By calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB. WBOB.
Hey, good morning. It is Friday. We are set and ready to go. Coming up on 4 minutes after 6 a.m. And a lot's been talked about over the last couple of days, especially with the announcement of gun control measures. We've heard this before. We've heard it again. But President Biden says he'll go down the path, of course, of addressing some of these in an executive order. So let's get to it. The three fastest hours anywhere in morning talk radio right here. It's Ed Dean, Roger Henderson right here on Talk Radio WBOB. All right, let's get to it. Gun control. Will it happen? The president says he wants to do it, of course, through executive orders as well. But he also says that, hey, listen, what I'm about to do is not going to hurt your constitutional rights.
But today we're taking steps to confront not just the gun crisis, but what is actually a public health crisis. Nothing I'm about to recommend in any way impinges on the Second Amendment. They're phony arguments suggesting that these are Second Amendment rights at stake from what we're talking about. But no amendment to the Constitution is absolute. Gun violence in this country is an epidemic.
And President Biden says with the laws and regulations he wants to put in place will not hamper or put an infringement on your Second Amendment rights. But ABC News reports that one of the other big items that the president wants to see done that some states have, but he wants to encourage it more states to have and maybe implement one nationwide is what's called red flag laws.
He's directing the Justice Department to create a template that states can use to enact red flag laws, which allow authorities to remove firearms from people who are deemed a threat. But these actions are limited, and some gun control advocates say the president should have taken bolder action even sooner.
Here's more of what the president had to say about red flag laws.
We know red flag laws can have significant effect in protecting women from domestic violence. And we know red flag laws can stop mass shooters before they can act out their violent plans. I want to see a national red flag law and legislation to incentivize states to enact their own red flag laws. I asked the Justice Department to publish a model red flag legislation so states can start crafting their own laws right now. And it's time to put these laws on the books and protect even more people.
But South Carolina Senator Republican Lindsey Graham says they must be included with this, of course, is due process.
Starting with the idea of red flag laws. I think these protective orders have a lot of hope to solve some of these cases. There has to be an imminent threat of harm to oneself or to others before the police, and it can only be the police, can go to a judge. You have a hearing. You got to have more likely than not standard that there's an imminent threat of bodily injury. 7 days later, you have a full-blown hearing, clear and convincing evidence where the gun owner can come in and defend themselves, and the government has to prove by clear and convincing evidence that the person is disturbed, a danger to themselves or others. And if that test is met, they can seize the guns and get the person the help they need. And in Parkland, Florida, Cruz had 32 to 40 visits by the cops. They had no way to stop him.
So there you go. So that's what Lindsey Graham has said. It's got to be, of course, with due process. But the bottom line is, what's going to take place? Will they try to implement one nationwide? Border surges continue. And according to border officials, they are gone high. Sky high is the word out there. The Border Patrol Customs and Enforcement officials have encountered 172,000 illegal migrants at the border in March. In fact, that is a 71% increase from February out there. The latest with this, Fox News.
Let's take a look at the numbers for a moment. Total Southwest border enforcement encounters, February 2017, 23,557. February 2018, 36,751. 2019, 76,545. These are all the Februaries. 2020, 36,062. Now, February 2021, 100,441. This is not going in a good direction.
Of course, there's a latest poll out there that's been talking about this. According to a Hill-Harris X poll, the majority voters blame President Biden here for the border crisis. Some want to blame President Trump. 44% said President Biden bears responsibility, but 28% blame former President Trump. 20% blame both. 73% blame Biden, and 46% of Democrats still blame former President Trump.
Trump had 4 years of failed immigration policy, inhumane treatment,
breaking apart the asylum system. I mean, he did away with the Central American Miners Program. We were trying to do it. He cut aid to El Salvador, cut aid to Honduras, cut aid to Guatemala. So made situation there worse and gave people all the more reason to want to come here.
Liberal commentator from Fox News, The Five, Juan Williams. But CNN's Allison Camerato was talking to White House press corps. They were mentioning this when the White House press corps was talking to the White House communications director, Kate Benningfield, saying, well, wait a second. We have all of these migrants coming over here, and you guys keep talking about it's not that bad of a deal. In fact, you're deporting most of them that come over. CNN's Allison Camerato says that just isn't happening.
When you say that the vast majority of families are being expelled, that the numbers don't bear that out. The latest numbers that we have from U.S. Border and Customs Protection show that 19,200 families were encountered at the border in February and 7,900 were expelled. So that's less than half.
But if you look at across the course of the last couple of years, if you look.
So I'm looking at this poll going, I mean, and forget about what you may, your partisan beliefs may be. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is February is the biggest one on record. I'm just being honest here. I don't know how you blame Trump because we've seen all the caravans. We play the clips. Mm-hmm. Trump's gone. We're coming over. That's just the bottom line. Biden bears the responsibility.
And not only that, it's undeniable that during the campaign, Joe Biden says he was not going to be as harsh to those coming into the country illegally as President Trump did. Vote for me instead, and you'll see a change. The people in Latin America got that message, and guess what? They came in.
By the way, I think a big debate could be centered around, as you know, some Republicans have sat back and said that they could probably go along, not with an assault weapons ban, mm-hmm. but of course, more of universal background checks. The red flag laws I find very fascinating. You're not going to see one nationwide. That just isn't going to happen. States should, and if they want to implement their own red flag laws, that's fine. I'm always fascinated by the debate of red flag laws. Who has the final say? The state legislature says they should, mm-hmm. but some of it they'll leave to the discretion of the police. I get that, and of some judges out there as well.
And then, you know, are you crazy until proven guilty, or are you innocent, you know, or mentally sane? So that's the argument that a lot of people who don't like the red flag laws will ask.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has announced that he has filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration, Department of Health and Human Services, and the CDC. Pretty much what is going on here is that the guidelines came out and said, hey, if you're on a U.S. cruise ship, you can't reopen immediately. This was supposed to take place. Now the federal government says that they've extended, I guess you could call it a ban, but they're not going to allow people to embark and disembark from all U.S. ports until November the 1st.
Governor DeSantis is filing a lawsuit against the CDC and the federal government demanding cruises set sail again. He said some cruise lines are resuming sailings from international ports, and that's hurting Florida's economy. Now, back in March, the U.S. marked 1 year of the CDC's no-sail order. The agency said this will remain effective until November 1st.
So you cannot go on a cruise line at all in the U.S. This is what Governor DeSantis said when he announced his lawsuit in South Florida.
And so today, I'm happy to announce that on behalf of the tens of thousands of Floridians whose livelihood depends on the viability of an open cruise industry, today Florida's fighting back. We're filing a lawsuit against the federal government and the CDC demanding that our cruise ships be reopened immediately.
He also says it's killing the economy, especially down in South Florida.
Here in Dade County, it's one of the highest unemployment rates in the entire state, and it's way higher than the state average and higher than even the national average. And the main reason for that is because the federal government and the CDC has locked down this industry for over a year.
And here's the thing that he said in that press conference. He says, you know what's going to happen? They're just going to go to the Bahamas and do it.
Ah, I hadn't thought about that.
Neither did I, yeah. He says, the Bahamas is going to get the glory, the money, and everything else out there.
Yeah, and it's not very expensive. People who are already in Florida or come by to hop over to Nassau.
So this is going to be kind of interesting to see where this goes. Uh-huh. When it comes to the states wanting to have this and Florida as well. But I wonder if it kind of leads back into the question, well, if we get those vaccine passports ready, we wouldn't have this problem.
Yeah, some people will ask that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see. And by the way, you remember they wanted to have restrictions earlier if COVID cases were going up. Remember this?
The Biden administration told the Associated Press that new domestic travel restrictions are under consideration, and one place that they are looking at is the state of Florida. They're concerned about the spread of the UK variant here. Now, no specifics have been given on what kind of travel restrictions they could be considering for Florida.
Travel restrictions in the state of Florida?
Potential travel restrictions on Americans and on Floridians. And I think it's an absurd report, unconstitutional.
Yeah. So this is going to set things up, especially if he decides to run for president in 2024. That was then Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. More coming up next. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Talk Radio WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
Starting to see some light traffic on Emerson Street headed north, just past Phillips Highway. Add an extra couple minutes, and if you see anything that'll help your friends stay safe, give us a call, 901-SAFE.
Very overcast today with a chance of thunderstorms, the high 85. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low of 65, and currently it is 65 degrees. Canines for Warriors is ending veteran suicide and returning our warriors to a life of dignity and independence.
I deployed with the U.S. Army in 2003. I've been in 8 different IED explosions. I don't know how many gunfights we've been in. 5.5 years of combat, it takes its toll on you. A lot of cumulative experience and trauma.
Canines for Warriors pairs specially trained dogs with vets in need.
You know, the thing I can tell you about my dog is his eyes have that perfect amount of judgment, but also that perfect amount of love. And no matter what I do, he just looks at me like I'm either an idiot or I'm the best thing in the world. He's my cranky old man, and I love him.
Your generosity will go right to work to help pair a struggling warrior with a shelter dog trained to help veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, and or military sexual trauma. Give your best gift today by going to K9sForWarriors.org.
The Brandon Groover News Hour, Fridays 5 to 6 on WBOB, has accurately predicted the presidential election, the Capitol riots, and more. Hear the newsmakers and call in at 904-831-0600. This Friday's topics, the need for universal background checks, and Brandon and Doug discuss actions America can take to unify our country and address racial disparities while keeping our capitalist tradition intact. Join the discussion 5 p.m. Friday on WBOB, sponsored by Elite Home Health.
Tune in to AM 600 WBOB every Tuesday evening at 5 for the Tony D Means Business Show with host Tony Davis. Tony fully understands the ups and downs of being in business today. With over 25 years of experience in corporate America and as a small business owner in a variety of industries, Tony D gets it. If it's good for business, you'll hear about it on this show. If it's bad for business, you'll really hear about it on this show. The Tony D Means Business Show, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. right here on AM 600 WBOB.
Remembering what Rush said then was right.
What do we do here every day? I simply report the news. All of it.
And still is.
And give you aspects of it and angles that you don't get in the drive-by media. Or maybe in any other place. We don't do topics here. We don't do guests. We just do the news of the day related to how I can use it to inform people what I believe. It's a way of explaining the horrors of liberalism.
Weekdays from noon till 3, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB. WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A new Hill-Harris X poll finds more voters say Biden, not Trump, is responsible for the border crisis. A new study by UNF says the proposed increase in the gasoline sales tax for Jacksonville would create a positive economic impact to the city. And the Florida State House and State Senate have both passed budgets just shy of $100 billion. Up next, lawmakers negotiating the final amounts.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And he also wants to take away the protections that gun manufacturers enjoy against frivolous lawsuits. Right now, the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act protects gun manufacturers from frivolous lawsuits. Biden wants to take it away. He says that shouldn't exist. They shouldn't have that protection.
That is from gun columnist for Breitbart, A.W.R. Hawkins. Hey, good morning. Coming up on 620, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. This whole the gun debate I'm always fascinated by. Red flag laws, I mean, we always talk about, you know, assault weapons, the new verbiage out there, weapons of war. It's no longer gun control. It's now violence prevention programs out there. I love the way how they, like, global warming is now climate change, right?
Right, uh-huh.
So out of all of these gun arguments, if you had to look inside, in the two areas that I'm fascinated with, of course, is the red flag laws. For a lot of you listening, we hear the typical old mantra that well, it's you shouldn't have this, and what do you need an AR? And maybe we should limit how many guns you should buy each month, and maybe we should put a tax on the bullets. The two issues that I am, and maybe I'd like to hear from you, maybe give me an issue that you really think that we don't talk enough. A lot of emails. I mentioned this the other day. I had a couple of emails, by the way, at WBOB.com. On the issue just of the gun control, that's all the issues we're talking about this morning. Of course, we talk about anything you guys want for the most part. But on the issue of guns, what is an issue that you think is not talked enough about that maybe should be brought up as a discussion?
Mm-hmm.
All right. In other words, like you talk about concealed carry. Oh, no, it should be open carry. Okay. Interesting debate. But to me, Raj, on the issues of gun control that I find very interesting, that's it's not like a brand new discussion, but it's always thrown as a verbiage in there, like a soundbite, but not really gone through, is what you just heard from A.W.R. Hawkins. Do we need to sue gun manufacturers? Interesting debate. And the red flag laws.
Right. Those obviously are two. I can think of some others.
Give me a couple.
For example, you know, the vast majority of the crimes are not committed by people who obtain their guns legally. But all the legislative action to curb, what do they call it, weapons of war, violence, et cetera,
right.
You know, are going after those who are trying to obtain their guns legally. We probably need to, you know, get the smartest brains in the room together to figure out how can we go after those who get guns illegally. Now, how to do that's probably easier said than done, but, you know, focus on the criminals and not the law-abiding citizens.
Yeah. So, well, yes, you had a couple more.
Well, let me think. The focus on the rifles, the long rifles.
Yeah, that primarily good one. For that's hunting. Another good one. Yeah,
you know, get rid of those, and that's going to. But most of the gun crimes are handguns.
Roger, give me that daddy shotgun. Yeah, that's a felony. You need to register that. And that's a good one.
That's
to
an
me,
assault weapon.
Roger, I'm sorry. It's a weapon of war.
Okay.
So anyway,
but very few of the crimes are used with guns like that. It's usually it's the handgun.
Which is a good point.
Concealed versus open carry, you know, what creates a bigger threat? Someone who's got a gun that you don't know they've got it, or someone who's got it strapped to their waist and everybody can see it and you won't escalate anything because you know he's armed.
The gun manufacturing debate is, I just want to ask the liberal left, and I just give me a plausible argument. I can't seem to get one. Is that if you want to sit back and say, hey, the gun manufacturers are reliable or should be held liable because they you know, they're the ones that, ones that did what? I mean, because if you go after the gun manufacturers, you want to sue them. The question is, I know you can say, well, what about cars? What about knives?
Mm-hmm.
What about other things? By the way, what about medicine? Because you understand that maybe the medicine wasn't properly addressed for someone's body configuration of, you know, if one is a type 2 diabetic or whatever, they took something, didn't resonate with their body, and then something happened, and they had some sort of, a vast rejection, the side effects. Well, do you sue the pharmacist who gave you that, or do you sue the manufacturers that made that? For example, if you want to go after gun manufacturers, then who do you sue next? Do you sue the wholesaler? Then do you sue the firearm retailer? Then do you sue the kid over the counter who sold you that gun? Where does it stop?
Yeah. There's, and for those who, want to stop, the Second Amendment rights, they just want to get guns out of the hands of citizens, and they only want police and military to have them. So, they'll stop nowhere.
So to me, that's the fascinating question. Biden could come out there and say, well, no constitutional amendment is absolute. Well, that depends on your term is absolute. Yes, states are able to regulate certain things that are not in the Constitution. I get that argument out there as well. But what is their term of absolute? And if it's not absolute, then who gets to regulate it?
Yeah.
I mean, where does the federal government have any type? I mean, a well-regulated militia. Interesting. We don't longer have militias. I think that's probably transformed into our U.S. military, some would say. That's an interesting debate. But who regulates that as well?
Yeah.
So the question is, where does this debate go? I'm just saying to you out there listening, if you had to pick an issue in the gun debate, give me one or two that you think is not talked enough about. Or do you think is maybe coming down the pike that may start, like the red flag laws, I think is going to be picked up even more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The gun manufacturers, I'm fascinated by that debate. But the reason why I'm fascinated by it is, well, how do you sue the gun manufacturers? Because if you want to sue those that have cars on the road, and let's say that a certain car causes more wrecks, then do you go after the manufacturer? Do you go after the seller of the car? Do you go after the salesperson of the car? Or do you sit back and go, well, it was the individual driving that car?
Yeah. And we're hearing a lot lately about these, what do they call it, the ghost loophole?
Yeah.
You know, there's no manufacturer involved there because you manufacture it yourself. You just buy the parts, I guess, from China.
Yeah. So, maybe. So it's kind of like a junkyard. So anyway, mm-hmm. You get all the parts in. All right. More coming up next. Talk Radio WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
Slow traffic on Zoo Parkway headed north just before Eastport Road. Add about 2 or 3 extra minutes. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE. 901-7233.
Overcast today with the high of 85. This evening, a few clouds with a low of 65. Right now, it's 63 degrees.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Florida's economy depends on restoring America's Everglades. Everglades restoration will not only improve our environment, it will create 65,000 new infrastructure jobs and support hundreds of thousands of jobs tied to the real estate, recreation, and tourism industries. Let's invest in our future. Restore America's Everglades. Create jobs. Learn more at evergladesfoundation.org.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance, and MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month. You might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by March 31st. You can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch like more than 400,000 people already have and start saving. Here it is. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
This year marks the 64th anniversary of Boger Shoes on Park Street here in Jacksonville. In order for a family business to celebrate 64 years in business, they must be doing something right. And that something is good old-fashioned customer service. For 64 years, Boger Shoes has been providing orthopedic and diabetic shoes for thousands of customers in Northeast Florida. Boger's offers free evaluation and fittings by 4 board-certified podorthists on staff. With a doctor's prescription, they can custom make inserts in their on-site lab. And just in time for Easter, Boger Shoes is offering new spring Birkenstocks for your Easter babies or toddlers. Boger's now carries very stylish waterproof sandals, so let the kids enjoy the April showers. You can also save 20% simply by liking Boger Shoes on Facebook or following them on Instagram. Just show that info on your phone at checkout to receive your 20% discount. For 64 years, good old-fashioned customer service has been the key to Boger Shoes' success. Boger Shoes, the answer for hurting feet.
Does your family deserve the freshest produce? Well, obviously, of course they do. And nothing's fresher than the straight-off-the-bush strawberries and blueberries from the Towers Family Farms. And it's super simple. You just pay for what you pick. Mark your calendars for opening weekend, Saturday, April 10th. And bring your family, because after all, memories aren't made at the grocery store. They're made at the farm. Towers Family Farms. Follow Towers Family Farms on Facebook and Instagram.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
WBOB.
Hey, Roger, coming up in a little bit, there is a new study by the University of North Florida. They're pretty good on their polls out there, but I just want to remind everybody, this was commissioned by city government in the city of Jacksonville, the JTA.
Okay.
They funded this transportation, and of course, they funded it, and it came out very positive that there's going to be a major economic boom for the city of Jacksonville if they just double your taxes. Why don't we just do that all overall? We just get the free market out of the way. And, of course, there are those out there on the proponents that sit back and say, well, we need to be like other cities out there because their taxes are this high. And Jacksonville, you know, needs to be, you know, we're lower than everybody else.
Don't give them any ideas.
Yes. Bingo. Bam. You just, that is a bad, bad argument. A lot more of this coming up next. Talk Radio WBOB.
Talk Radio. AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A senior Mexican government minister sees no end in sight to the border crisis unless the U.S. ponies up some more cash, specifically billions more in development aid for countries south of the border. In Bryan, Texas, a shooting at a cabinet-making business left one person dead, five others wounded. Happened yesterday afternoon. The suspect, identified as a 27-year-old man who authorities say worked at the cabinet shop. Critics call it a gun grab. President Biden announcing a series of executive orders on gun control. Swift reaction from gun rights advocates. Texas Governor Greg Abbott taking to Twitter to say that President Biden is threatening our Second Amendment rights. On Wall Street this morning, Dow futures 66 points higher, while NASDAQ futures are down 32 points. More details at srnnews.com.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good morning, I'm Adam Boardman. A prominent prosecutor who's accused of molesting a child has offered to resign rather than possibly get fired. Chris Ambrosio was the city attorney for Jacksonville Beach until he was arrested and charged. The city council placed him on administrative leave, then voted to start the process of firing him. Ambrosio says he'll go away as long as he's paid for accrued leave, salary, and benefits. It took a long time for the case to get to trial, but not long at all for the star witness to take the stand. That witness was the defendant, Russell Tillis, who's charged with kidnapping and murdering Joni Gunter in 2016 and then burying her in his yard on Jacksonville's south side. Yesterday, he told the court that he never saw the victim until she was already dead and that it was his own brother who brought him her body in the trunk of a car. Tillis didn't accuse his brother of killing Gunter, but said he still doesn't know how she died. Tillis is also looking at a sex trafficking charge. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Are you worried about working till you drop, losing your job, or not being able to retire? Lifestyles Unlimited members learn how to leave those worries behind. Tune in to the Del Walmsley Radio Show and discover life-changing information, like the principles we use to provide for our families and run our businesses, why you should have real estate in your portfolio, five ways real estate makes you money, and a whole lot more.
Weeknights at 9 on WBOB, AM 600 and FM 101.1. The Answer.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
Slow traffic on Zoo Parkway headed north just before Eastport Road. Add about 2 or 3 extra minutes. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE. 901-7233.
Mostly cloudy today with a high of 85. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 65. Right now it's 61 degrees. Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Border officials announced record high numbers in March of illegal migrants crossing the U.S. border. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is suing the Biden administration to get cruises open in the state. The CDC has extended a ban preventing cruise ships from allowing passengers to embark and disembark from all U.S. ports. And on Thursday, President Biden rolled out a set of executive orders on gun control, saying he supports a nationwide red flag law.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Hey, good morning. Coming up on 6:33, we are now, 3.5, 4 weeks, I guess, left of the state legislature in Tallahassee. Are you guys ready for this? You know what the budget was no more, just a little bit more than 10 years ago, is at $69 billion around 2009. Mm. Now it's just becoming shy of $100 billion. Let me just point this out there. As a guy who's a free market conservative, if this was run by Democrats, we would be going, look at the increase in the budget among Democrats.
What is the extra money? Yeah, that's a lot more extra, too.
It's a lot.
What's it being spent on that we weren't spending it on, yeah, you know, 10 years ago?
Do you know, and by the way, as a conservative, I will tell you that the, quote, in the state of Florida, Roger, we call them turkey projects. It's no different than what we call pork barrel spending.
Okay.
Every year, there's at least $2 to $3 billion.
It's just kosher.
Yeah. Oh, we need a new park for so-and-so. Are we now? By the way, and I'm all for this to promote the veterans, mm-hmm, but you do know that the veterans raise a lot of their money on their own.
And you can also, you know, sell a license for the renaming of the,
yeah,
park to a business.
Yeah,
such Corporation Park.
Yeah, so some of my Republican friends out there want to put a park named after certain veterans. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that, but
right,
do you really need $10 million of state government money? That's the whole thing. So now the Florida State Senate and the Florida State House are about $2 billion apart on their spending plans. Are you ready for this? $97 billion. The Senate is at $95 billion. They're just short of the $100 billion. According to some numbers out there, they still haven't. Now, there's a debate here. They still haven't, or have they not factored in all of the $10 billion coming in from the federal government out there? So it's amazing. Everybody thinks that D.C.'s got the worst part of all the spending. No, no, folks, your local and state governments are sometimes just as bad. If you don't believe me, get a load of this. The University of North Florida, UNF, has done a poll commissioned by the Jacksonville Transportation Authority. Well, you better give them some good numbers, right?
They paid for it.
The proposed increase in the Jacksonville gasoline tax, according to the study, would have an economic impact of $1.6 billion and create more than 7,600 jobs, according to the UNF study. The latest with this, News 4 Jax, Ken Justice.
This new study by an economist from the University of North Florida says the proposed gas tax would mean 7,600 new jobs and generate an economic impact of $1.6 billion. The proposed gas tax increase would double the current tax from 6 cents to 12 cents per gallon. That increase would generate nearly $1 billion in revenue that would go towards 72 infrastructure projects across the city. Those projects include the expansion of the Skyway, getting homes in several neighborhoods off septic tanks. The study found almost half the jobs created would be related to the proposed expansion of the Skyway. The Jacksonville Transportation Authority commissioned the study.
So more than close to half of the jobs are going to be committed to the Skyway? Hmm. Are you kidding me with all of this?
Well,
this doesn't sell, folks.
You know what? Honestly, the Skyway right now, spending, you know, waste, they have to run it back and forth. But I don't believe it's used. You know, you and I need to ride the Skyway one day. just to see how
from here.
People, yeah, well, it doesn't start here. You know, Prime Osborne to downtown. But if they do extend it to the stadium on game day, I would imagine it would be used at that point, finally.
Yeah, but the question is how do you pay for it?
Well, charge a fare.
Well, you get the parking fees and this and that.
Yeah.
I mean, folks, can anybody tell me one government program that, at least when it comes to transportation, is paying for itself? Now, toll roads, different story. That can be done privately. That can be done by the state. But a federal government program, state and local, I don't know. I mean, is the Skyway? Mm-hmm. You look at the Amtrak. You look at some of the other high-speed rails out there. You look at what's going on in South Florida. They say that some of the high-speed or the local rails there, they're not in the black there at all. Remember what elected officials here locally have said, that the infrastructure projects are, quote, long overdue, coming from those that have been on the city council that are long overdue.
These are big projects that are long past due, and City Council President Tommy Hazzuri says there are 475 projects to begin with, in addition to JTA projects. Now, we asked him and Mayor Lenny Curry, who did not campaign on a gas tax like this, why now? Here's an answer.
If not now, when? I think that's sort of an old saying to say, there's no good time for a tax. And now's the time and now's the opportunity. Yesterday, we should have done it. Tomorrow.
Hey, so before I take some calls at 831-0600, 904-831-0600, and this just isn't a Tommy Hazzuri thing. You got Republicans out there like Matt Carlucci have said the same thing. Oh, it's long overdue. Guys, how many years have you been on the city council? How many years? Who's to blame for this? I'm sorry, guys. You can't be blaming Alvin Brown. That didn't hold up. All right? Especially with crime, by the way, too.
More fiscally conservative than any Republican mayor I can remember in
and Alvin Brown
history.
Was a Democrat. That's the funny thing about it. I mean, Roger's got an interesting point out there. And by the way,
show me the numbers that prove me wrong.
By the way, the the mayor and the surrogates. Now, I've always sat back when the mayor does something good, and by when he's talking, he's not scripted. He's just blunt. I like that. But there's a lot of things the mayor's done I wouldn't agree with either. But
it's a street fight.
But here, no, I don't want that. But listen to this argument real quick. Curry and the mayor, according to the article here, have noted that. Well, wait a second. Jacksonville has a lower tax rate than Clay, Nassau, Putnam, and other surrounding counties out
there.
That
was the exact same argument that they used to impose tolls on the city of Jacksonville. Well, they've got tolls in Miami, Orlando, and Tampa, so Jacksonville needs them. No, we didn't. But anyway.
So, you're making it. But my question is, that argument sounds good, does it not? Why is it not good? Can anybody tell me why it's not a good argument? You could sit back and say, well, why don't you try to compare yourself to property taxes down in Orlando?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you they got higher property taxes in South Florida. Shouldn't that give us the argument? Well, we're lower. We can raise them up. I don't buy into that, folks.
Yeah.
Don't buy.
Compare Jacksonville to Chicago's property taxes.
Well, yeah. But I'm talking about Florida.
You're making two mortgage payments.
Let's go to Jim. Jim, what's up this morning, man?
Hey, good morning, Ed.
Hey, brother.
Very, very brief history lesson, only because we've got a fairly new citizen. In New York City, they spent whatever it was, 6 or 8 years, grossly over budget, redoing a skating rink, as I recall. So why don't we put former President Trump in charge of it? We'll get it done on time and under budget.
Yeah. Now, why do you want to do that? But
we don't need that. We won't need a 6 cent gas tax to do it.
I mean, forget. I mean, I understand you. We always want to use another state, but let me focus here on Florida. Just every time, I mean, and I'm going to tell you this. This is not new. And by the way, this goes well beyond Democrats. There are a lot of Republicans. I see hardcore conservative counties. Oh, we got to jack up our gasoline tax. I mean, something's got to be either we're not getting enough money from Tallahassee from the taxes we pay in, or we're not properly spending our amount of money here on the local level, or everybody's got their hand out. I mean, something's got to be under control here, and I just don't see it, Jim.
Well, you're exactly right on that. But I got disgusted on the second mayoral election for Curry. He touted how he wanted to get elected because he was a CPA and could get the budget under control. Now, what is it, 6, 7 years later?
Wow, yeah.
Where's the budget?
Jim, good point. Hey, man, good to talk to you this morning.
Yep, thank you, my friend.
Yeah, you're welcome, brother. You know, CPAs are not financial people for the most part. CPAs are accountants. They tell you that the money's being spent.
And if I'm not mistaken, Brochet's a CPA too, right?
I don't know. Anyway,
I think she is.
Why would she even come up?
Because that's who he ran against.
She was a nobody. Okay? I mean, the homeless guy could have got more votes. And I like Ana Lopez Brochet. Nice gal. Okay? But she's done with. So what I'm getting at is that the financial guys, I want more financial people running office. I don't want a bunch of accountants running for everything. They just tell you the money was being spent.
So your definition of a financial guy is somebody involved with investing?
Yep. Investing. Tell you how to manage your money. Accountants just tell you where the money's being spent for the most part. That's not a put down on accountants, by the way. I'm just telling you. It's a big difference. Accountants, that's like saying, that's like calling Cubans and lumping them in with other minorities in the Latino society. That doesn't work. You don't lump Cubans along with Mexicans. They'll tell you they're totally different. All right? Just the way it is. So you don't lump CPAs along with financial guys. Totally. Financial guys and economists, totally different world.
My CPA has an economics degree, too.
Well, see, then he can abide by it. But if he's just a CPA, I'm just telling you. By the way, I find out more liberal economists than I do history teachers, believe it or not, that I covered. So, all right, more coming up next. 643 Talk Radio, WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
Our roads are still looking pretty smooth, but on 95 headed north, just past Bay Meadows Road, we have a lawnmower blocking the center lane. A good notion that spring has sprung. But be aware, and if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Mostly cloudy today with a high of 85, partly cloudy tonight with a low of 65. Right now it's 61 degrees.
Your year-round camping headquarters 7 days a week is A Army Navy Depot, San Juan and Blanding. A Army Navy Depot is Jacksonville's only military surplus store with 4,000 square feet of camo clothes, insulated coveralls, M65 field coats, flight jackets, watch caps, gloves, and more. Check out the camping and survivor needs, military flags and pins, security, DOC, and first responder gear. Gift cards available and 30-day layaway. A Army Navy Depot, 4721 San Juan Avenue at Blanding.
Introducing touch-free payments from PayPal, a safe way for your customers to pay. Simply download the PayPal app and display your own unique QR code for your customers to scan. Whether you're a market seller,
I'll take two tomatoes and a cucumber,
poodle pamperer, piano tuner, or plumber, signing up to accept touch-free payments for your business is easy. Touch-free QR code payments. Shop safe with PayPal.
Hey, we get it. You don't want to be hearing a Progressive commercial right now, so let us tell you something you do want to hear. No one is funnier than you. People laugh just thinking about the things you've said. I'm laughing at one of them right now. Coworkers repeat your jokes at the office, but they're never as good as when you tell them, and shame on them for trying. There. Don't you feel better? You'll also feel better knowing you could save when you bundle home and auto with Progressive. Although I'm sure you'd have a funnier way to say that. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
It's important to love what you do and who you do it for. And that's easy when you work at American Electrical Contracting. They're always looking for new ways to invest in their employees. This year alone, they've increased employee benefits by 25%, doubled their life insurance policy, and added an extra scheduled holiday. Plus, they offer tuition assistance for higher education. American Electrical Contracting focuses on excellence and professionalism. Pursue excellence personally and professionally at American Electrical Contracting. Hiring now. Call 737-7770. Visit American-Electrical.com.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB.
Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A new study by UNF says the proposed increase in the Jacksonville gas tax would create a positive economic impact on the city. The Florida State House and State Senate have both passed budgets just shy of $100 billion. Up next will be lawmakers negotiating the final amounts. And a new Hill-Harris X poll finds more voters say Biden, not Trump, is responsible for the border crisis.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Barney Bishop is the former executive director of the Florida Democratic Party, very well-known lobbyist and columnist at FloridaDaily.com. Here is President Biden yesterday, Barney, talking about implementing red flag laws nationwide. Clip number four.
We know red flag laws can have significant effect in protecting women from domestic violence. And we know red flag laws can stop mass shooters before they can act out their violent plans. I want to see a national red flag law and legislation to incentivize states to enact their own red flag laws. I asked the Justice Department to publish a model red flag legislation so states can start crafting their own laws right now. And it's time to put these laws on the books and protect even more people.
Well, first off, if you're going to ask the Department of Justice to get something done, that isn't going to happen for quite a while. The bottom line is, if you want to talk about certain things of dealing with gun violence and mental issues, I get that. Does that encompass red flag laws as well, Barney?
I think it does in the interpretation that he is probably thinking about. And look, red flag laws are good. They're appropriate. The problem is that he says it's going to stop mass shootings, and that's fantasy land because, unfortunately, people go off the deep end without necessarily having people knowing that they're having issues. So, look, it's a step in the right direction as long as it's not taken too far. And that's where the states ought to do it. The feds
should
facilitate it.
Now, Barney, but I told Roger before we had you come on, we were talking about there are a couple of things in the discussion of, quote, guns that I'm fascinated with the debate, especially like manufacturers. I think it's a weak argument, but it's kind of an interesting debate about, well, we need to go after gun manufacturers. Oh, I'm like, well, then why don't we go after car manufacturers or pharmaceutical manufacturers if there is a opposite reaction to a pill that you may be taking? But on the issue of red flag laws, are there – let me ask you this. God, I don't want you to get in trouble with some of our pro-gun friends out there. Is there a absolute out there that we should not have any red flag laws? Are there pro-gun groups that are against this? Or are there pro-gun groups that are sitting around saying, you know, maybe we could address some things depending on what the red flag laws are?
Well, I think it's the latter, Ed. I think that most the NRA and other organizations recognize that red flag laws are appropriate and are needed in certain circumstances. It's just the devil is in the details. You know, how do you decide who's a danger to themselves or to others? We have a pretty good process right now here in Florida. You go before a judge, and the judge can say that your weapons are going to be taken away from you, particularly if you've been involved in a violent, domestic violent incident. But the state law is pretty good. The feds just need to facilitate what the states are doing.
Yeah. Hey, Barney, is it, do you believe we're going to have more red flag laws on a state level? I know the Democrats would love to expand misdemeanors like suspended license, you got a ticket, to maybe prevent you from getting a gun. But on the red flag laws out there, is this something that should Tallahassee sit back and say, okay, we need to have legislation on this, or do we give a lot of discrepancy to judges out there?
I think we give a lot of discretion to the judges right now, Ed, and I don't think Florida needs any more red flag laws. We do a pretty good job of balancing the Second Amendment rights with the right of public safety, and that's where it comes down. And the devil, like I say, the devil's in the details. It's the nuances that count. The problem with what Biden wants to do, everything to him is black and white. There are no shades of gray, and there are plenty of shades of gray in every political issue. So he's barking up the wrong tree. Look, he can do all the executive orders he wants. He'll get sued on every one of them. He'll probably lose on most of them. And that's the right way it ought to be.
Tallahassee, we have about 3.5 weeks left in some areas of when the budget will be finalized. The Senate comes out with a $95 billion. I remember just 12 years ago, man, it was only like $69 billion. And then the Florida House is at 97, shy of 100. Have we included the $10 billion of the $97 billion, excuse me, 95? Have we included the $10 billion coming from the Fed in this budget?
The House and the Senate have, that's a great question, Ed. The House and Senate have dealt with it in different ways. I don't think that the House has got all of the $10 billion in there. And the Senate, I think, has got about $3 billion. And the Senate wants to do, which is appropriate, by the way, wants to use the one-time federal funds for non-recurring items like infrastructure improvements, which is entirely appropriate and
right.
A great idea.
Right. Barney, but we're hearing friends of yours in the industry that, for example, the healthcare industry, they say that, hey, healthcare cuts, the affordable housing cuts, that would also help fire and police to try to attract new people to come into the state, to allow them to get down payment assistance and all that. I understand we've gone through a pandemic, probably the worst recession since the Great Depression, depending on what market you're in. But yet, why is it that we increase money in some areas, like, for example, we want to study on the issue of rising sea tides. I mean, so the Republicans are going along with this. All right, I'm interested in the argument. Do we need to spend hundreds of millions of dollars? If we're getting $10 billion from the state, from the federal government, why are we looking at a lot of these spend? And I don't have a problem with some of the spending cuts, but are we moving money too much around in areas we just don't need to be doing it?
Yes, and that's and you make an excellent point, Ed, because really, the $60 million worth of cuts in mental health is a terrible idea, and there's no reason for that to be happening. And we need to be spending more in corrections.
But oh, yeah.
In the corrections arena, we need to be spending more on rehabilitation and helping nonviolent inmates when they're released, and actually violent inmates as well, when they're released, to help them become stable citizens and not return to a life of crime. Those are places where expenditures of money would reap tremendous benefits for our entire society.
You know what? You nailed it on the corrections. Roger, I was telling Barney and I, in North Florida, like around the Perry, Florida area, North Florida is just loaded with prisons, which is fine with me. Sometimes we may not have many. And yet, Barney, I kid you not, I was telling Barney this, Roger, that they cannot keep correctional officers. It just, they don't make enough pay. They're just treated like garbage.
Yeah, there's a lot of abuse that goes on from some of the prisoners on the prison guards.
I'm not worried about that. I'm talking about the but I'm talking about as far as they're like, you know, keeping them. You could get abused by people like that when it comes to a retail associate from Walmart.
But you talked about them not being able to keep people. So yeah, that's was one of the reasons why people wouldn't want to pursue that career.
But one of the reasons why there's not enough pay, they actually have the Boy Scout tables. They have tables like that in front of a Walmart trying to attract people to come work for a state prison. It's sad. It's sad.
Yeah. You're right, Ed. And listen, there needs to be a tremendous effort. Secretary Inch has done a great job, but he's talked about that as many people they hire every month, about the same number of people leave because we pay so little. And after we pay all the training costs, then they go get a job with a law enforcement agency that pays more.
Hey, Roger, what I'm saying is if you wanted to pay me $80,000 a year, I'll take verbal abuse from a prisoner any day of the week, man. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Just allow me a couple of tasers in response. That's all I need. So,
well, they're restricted. There's certain things they can't do to defend themselves.
I know. I'm just saying in this case, and Barney, I got to get going. Good to have you on this morning.
Thanks a lot, Ed. Rod, you guys take care.
All right.
What I'm saying is, wasn't so much with the abuse. Mm-hmm. I know people that get abused at jobs, but by customers, they're still because they like the money. What I'm saying is, the money just ain't worth it. Forget about the abuse. It just ain't worth it.
Right.
That's what I was getting at. And when you got to go in front of a Walmart, unfortunately, to hire people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 655 Talk Radio, WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
Our usual light traffic around NAS Jacks. Add about 3 extra minutes, and if you see anything, since we can't see it all, just give us a call, 901-SAFE, 901-7233.
Mostly cloudy today with a high of 85, partly cloudy tonight with a low of 65. Right now it's 61 degrees. Canines for Warriors is ending veteran suicide and returning our warriors to a life of dignity and independence.
I deployed with the U.S. Army in 2003. I've been in 8 different IED explosions. I don't know how many gunfights we've been in. 5.5 years of combat. It takes its toll on you. A lot of cumulative experience and trauma.
Canines for Warriors pairs specially trained dogs with vets in need.
You know, the thing I can tell you about my dog is his eyes have that perfect amount of judgment, but also that perfect amount of love. And no matter what I do, he just looks at me like I'm either an idiot or I'm the best thing in the world. He's my cranky old man, and I love him.
Your generosity will go right to work to help pair a struggling warrior with a shelter dog trained to help veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, and or military sexual trauma. Give your best gift today by going to K9sForWarriors.org.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods, and a question often asked is, what do jewelers give as gifts to their loved ones? The answer is the same kind of things everybody else gives, but for me and my family, no gift is a better crown of achievement than a Rolex watch. I've told the story about the Rolex my grandfather gave me for graduating from college a zillion times, and still tell it, because it's a day I'll never forget. But I'll also never forget giving my wife the Rolex she always dreamed of owning for a real important birthday. I also won't ever forget the handshake and look in the eye my son gave me when I handed him a Rolex when he graduated from college. I can say the same thing about the hug my daughter gave her mother and me for the Rolex she put on when she graduated from the University of Alabama. These are the kind of great memories I'll have the rest of my life, and they will too, every time they look at the Rolex on their wrist. Nothing will create these kind of memories for a lifetime better than a Rolex. At Underwoods, San Marco, Avondale, or the shops upon Avedra.
Are you having difficulty paying your IRS personal or business taxes due to COVID-19? If you owe a tax debt, there has never been a better time than now to get a resolution. The IRS has rolled out historic tax debt removal guidelines under their Taxpayer Relief Initiative. This COVID-19 program provides opportunities to remove or lessen your tax burden that weren't previously available. The tax attorneys at J. David Tax Law are right here in Jacksonville and are experts at negotiating with the IRS.
At J. David Tax Law, only highly experienced tax attorneys will represent you. Never trust your tax situation to anyone that's not local to you. We've helped thousands of Floridians to overcome IRS and sales tax debt. Let us help you. Call J. David Tax Law today for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777. Or go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Hey, good morning. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. A lot of news we are talking about today. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is suing the CDC and the Biden White House. They sit back and say, well, we're going to extend the ban, if you want to call that, and prevent from you embarking and disembarking when it comes to cruise lines. Governor DeSantis says it's killing the South of Florida economy. And he's right. He says instead they're going to go out to the Bahamas. He goes, so they're going to sue them so they can reopen it. Interesting on that one. And a new study by the University of North Florida says that the proposed increase in the Jacksonville gasoline tax will bring a major economic boom to the city. Just one interesting thing. It was funded by the Jacksonville Transportation Authority. Interesting. All right. So we'll talk more about this coming up next. Ed and Roger, Talk Radio WBOB.
AM 600 WBOB Jacksonville, 101.1 FM W266 CX Fruitco, Talk Radio.